This morning's message,
building bigger barns. Building bigger barns. That verse was taken from the book of Luke 16, chapter in the 23rd verse. And it's about a wealthy landowner who had accumulated a good bit of wealth. And I don't know what had come up in his life or whatever. But we see that this morning in the book of Jeremiah, the 48th chapter, in the book of Isaiah, the 15th and 16th chapters, where Moab, we're studying, were a very prosperous people. God had blessed them, and seeing that it rains on the just and the unjust, not that they were God followers, not that they were worshipers of Jehovah, not that they knew the followings of God, but God's blessing falls upon us all. But one thing about Moab, they didn't have the goodness of God to lead them to repentance. And this morning's sermon, I said, a lot of times we preach to the church. This morning I'm preaching to the church, but it's not about the church. It's about those outside of the church. And that the church would see, just as all the people think about the preaching in the times of Noah. Noah wasn't so much preaching to his sons or to the ones that were saved. He was preaching to the ones that are unsaved, that the judgment of God was going to fall on the unsaved. Here it is with Moab. The judgment of God is falling upon Moab. It falls upon him, and once the judgment of God begins, there's nothing we can do to rectify that judgment, but because he's sovereign over the whole world and he has promised judgment to all men. We don't know where this prophecy falls in line here, but we see where Isaiah had prophesied the same thing. And if you've read Isaiah 15 and 16, you'll see some of the lines are exactly the same. Some of the wording is exactly the same. So Moab, let me tell you a little bit about Moab. We know where Moab come from, and that wasn't nothing new of the day. They was born of an incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughters, and we see where God looked upon that discretion that his daughters made, and God was weeping for Moab. See, because what we have to look at, those are Lot's grandkids. Ironically, morally, they were also his children, though. Moab and Ammon was his children as well as his grandchildren because they were through his daughters. But what that made them also, that made them part of what Abraham was pleading for. Abraham was pleading for Lot's well-being and Lot's household when he was pleading with Sodom and with God for to save Sodom and Gomorrah because he knew Lot's daughters and Lot had a large household there. That made them kindred. They're near kindred to Israel. See, it's a lot of our distant cousins. It's a lot of our relatives that are out there that we don't seem inclusive in the family of God. But we know God is a God of all men. These are near relatives of Lot, of Abraham. So Abraham pleaded with God not to destroy the city. How many of us are pleading for God not to destroy our relatives? Not to destroy them, but we should be offering up prayer. We should be doing as Noah. We should be doing the work of evangelists. We should preach the gospel because that's the only way they should be saved. Regardless of what church people are in, the judgment of God falls, whether they believe it or not, regardless of what their belief is, regardless of the god Chemosh that Moab worshiped, the judgment of God was to fall, and that meant that they should have been lined up with God's doctrine, not Moab, not Chemosh's doctrine. We are understanding that I said this wasn't nothing new and that God looks over indiscretion. And a lot of people I've been hearing preaching through the year about how wicked this was, about what Lot's daughters and things did. And I tell you, a lot of times God works with that. works with those things because we are just like them. We're no different than his daughters was. We're no different than Lot's daughters was. This wasn't did all out of an unpure motive. This was did with good intent, a good motive, but it was not done under the morality of God. Just think about it. Where did Cain get his wife from? Wouldn't it had to been, if we all come from Adam and Eve, wouldn't it had to been from among his sisters? You hadn't thought back that far, had you? Had you thought back further enough that Abraham said that Sarah was his sister? You know that was his half-sister. Have you thought back to the times of David when Tamar was raped by Amnon, her brother, but she told him not to do that? If it was, that was his desire, whatever, before he transgressed God, to talk with his father and that his father could arrange something. So see, we shouldn't be worrying about building bigger barns in the thing of this world. We should be worried about whether what we're doing is in line with keeping our soul right with God. Is it, see, this man had given no thought of what condition his soul was in. He was thinking about what he was accumulating. He was thinking about money. He was thinking about prosperity. He was thinking about his taking of ease. And we look at Jeremiah, the 11th verse of that 48th chapter, and it says, Moab had been at ease from his youth, and he had sailed on his lees, and had not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Neither had he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remained in him, and his scent is unchanged. The lees that we were talking Wednesday night, the lees are, when you're making grape juice, you're using the red, say the red wine, not white wine, because red wine is a different quality and a higher quality than the white wine. Most wines are the red wines. What you do, after squeezing all of that out of the grape juice, the juice and thing, you add the stems, the seeds, in that hull, all that other stuff. That's what gives it flavor. That's what gives it body. But that has to be shaken up. And that's, if you don't switch it from bare to bare, if you turn it, if you don't remove that, that gets strong in the bottom. I think I gave you an illustration of pineapple juice or orange juice. If you buy, my wife likes Simply Orange. If you use that orange juice, what happens, the pulp and all that stuff settles to the bottom of that thing, and that's just clear liquid on top almost. It doesn't taste well. But if you shake that up, and if you move it from decanter to container, you'll see that it's emulsified. It blends in, and it has a rich, bountiful taste. And see, that's what was the problem with Moab. They hadn't went through trial and tribulation. They hadn't went through anything, and it takes going through something to know something. See, a lot of times a person can't talk on things to you if they hadn't been through that. That's why Jesus came down here and experienced life as a man and went through everything that we went through, that he would be able to guide us and lead us. That's what happened in churches when you have preachers or people speaking and they hadn't been through that. That's what happened when you're on the highway and you at ease with the fellas around and they talking about stuff that they hadn't went through. They hadn't had a family. Or they had a family, hadn't lost it, hadn't taken care of it the right way. They can give you advice, but it might not be the right advice. You see, God couldn't feel the pain, but Jesus feel your pain. Jesus know what it is to be betrayed. And a lot of us have went through things and we know life. If you're a child of God, God takes you through different trials and errors, through different things. He's preparing you for the kingdom. You can better relate to others. You won't be like Job with his flock. See, Job was self-righteous within himself. That's what's wrong with a lot of Christians today. They had it ease. You know, that's what they say about some spoon-feed children or whatever. As they grow up, their parents were millionaires or they was wealthy. They hadn't had to work for a living. So you don't know what it is to exist on minimum wage. You don't know what it is to exist with a broken home, without a father in the home. You don't know what it is to exist on substandard housing. You don't know how I'm feeling, because you can't empathize, because you don't know what I'm going through. You've been at ease in Moab. See, Jerusalem had fell at ease. Don't talk about Jerusalem next week. It's hard to keep these distinguished about a Christian doing it and those in the world doing it. But see, we're talking about those in the world now. You have a lot of relatives of people that could help you, but they won't help you because they feel they're above you, or they so far distant that the love of kindred than white's coat. That you from the lower side of that name, both of y'all are Baxters or Jacksons or Hubbards or whatever, Dents or Harris or whatever your name be, but I'm from the upper class. So we don't fool with them because we drive Mercedes and they catch cabs, or they have to catch the bus, or they just can't afford things in life. So we separate. You hadn't been through. See, God wants to. He's going to rock this nation. This nation hadn't went through what a lot of other nations have been to. We've been at relative ease. We don't know the pain of war that showed in 9/11. When the attack on 9/11 in Pearl Harbor, it showed that this nation wasn't used to someone coming in and attacking it. It wasn't used to war. But let our cities and our homes and out the United States starts to look like Lebanon or Syria. Let it look like Iraq or whatever. Then we might could sympathize. We wouldn't be so eager to go out and bomb somebody and destroy somebody. See, Moab looked down on Israel even though they were cousins. They didn't give them help. I told you in the book of Deuteronomy, when they were coming through, going to the promised land, God looked out for them. And God told them, that said, look, don't go through Moab. He said, don't look at their land or whatever, because that's for Moab. That's Lot's children's land. I won't give you their land. But they were so uppity that they wouldn't even let them pass through the land. They wouldn't let them buy water or drink from them. They sought to curse them. That's when Balak hired Balaam to curse the children of Israel. You see, it's so many people that they so far ahead, they so far at ease that they don't even want you to catch hold. They don't even want you to be able to go to the doctor. They don't want you to be able to ride the buses. They'll rather cut out the bus line. They'd rather condense the school system so that our kids won't intermingle with your kids. They are at ease. Moab, that has to be judged. The wicked, it has to be judged. You know, sometimes we Christians don't understand that, and we become more wicked than the wicked it are. See, that's why God looks down at you, and he's emptying you from jug to jug. He empties the Christian, but those that you're looking at that God is handling, your problem is that God needs to bring you down some because you're trying to be God. You a Pharisee. You more righteous than everybody else. Well, I pay my bill. Well, they may not have the money to pay bill. Well, I don't need unemployment. I'm working. Okay, well, you have a job. Maybe they can't find a job. Well, they having children out of wedlock like they're doing all this. Well, maybe her and the husband didn't get locked, the boyfriend didn't get locked. Maybe she did make a mistake or whatever, and she was trusting this guy, and he did her wrong. But is that a reason to hate her? See, that's one political party we have that looks down on women, and if they try to get contraceptives, no, we're not going to help them with contraceptives. Okay, then, you don't want to help them with contraceptives. Don't you know nature's going to take its course and they will have sex? So instead of helping them preventing from getting pregnant, you allow them to get pregnant, and then you're upset because they're pregnant. Now we can't help you. You ought to do this and you ought to do that. Well, see, you're not dealing with reality there. And that's why he judges the world, because there's so many wicked people in the world. He has to judge the wicked. He said, fret not thyself for evildoers, because they shall soon be cut off. But us Christians, what it is, we get so far up on our high horses, we start to judge the world and judge one another. And God's looking on us, and I'm going to tell you about us next week. Right now, I'm going to tell you about one of us, and that's your brother Job. Is you another Job? Do God have to take everything you have? Do he have to kill your children to make you mind your own business and see how wicked that you are? Before you could understand, God, that during that time that God was going to judge the world during Noah's time, he did it. There's a time and a season for all things. Those that are not at ease, those that are at ease, God's going to judge them for that. But your job was to tell them not to be at ease. Let's look at Job, what he did. Listen at Job's conversation here. Job had to be rebuked by Elihu on this because Job wasn't right in what he was saying, because God was the judge of night. He told him during Isaiah's time that he was the judge of Moab, and Job didn't have the benefit of that because Job was before Isaiah. A lot of people say Job was one of the first books of the Bible written. Where he fits chronologically in history, I know not. Some of these tribes or things didn't exist at that time. But if we would look at Job's, the 21st chapter, God was getting hold to Job. He was trying to get Job to understand. But instead of Job looking at others, at himself, what was his problem? He was looking at others. And he says, then Job answered and said, hear diligently my speech, the 21st chapter. Hear diligently my speech and let this be your consolation. Let this be given me. Allow me and I also will speak, and after I've spoken, mark on. For as for me, is my complaint to man of him? And why should I not be impatient and my spirit be troubled? Well, you shouldn't be impatient. God had told us to be patient. Why you shouldn't be troubled? Because God said, see that you be not worried. That's why. That's some of the things that we can gain from this. That what we all upset about, what we worried about, God says, worry not at all. The lilies of the field, they toil nor spindle, yet look at their ability. We're not trusting in God. God's trying to get you to understand him. He was had to hammer on Job to make Job understand him and stop looking around at other people. Job says, look at me and be astonished and lay your hand upon my mouth. For when I remember, I am troubled and afraid. Horror and trembling take hold of my flesh. Why should you be like that, Job? He hadn't given us a spirit of fear. If you one of those Christians today that was all coming up on the earth, if you worried about your health, if you worried about what you eat, you worried about, you need to get deeper in Jesus. Because God would take care of his own. David says, I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. He hadn't seen even his seed in that shape or condition. So something, the problem is with you. You're at ease. Verse 7 says, why do the wicked live, become old, and become mighty in power? Now you worry about how long somebody live. You worried about how rich they are, whether they the Koch brothers, whether they Sam Walton, whether they Bill Gates or somebody, all the power and might that they have in this nation. Why do they live to 80 or 90 years old and a lot of us the good die young? Why all these things? Well, if those things that should be in your purview, if God hadn't given you the understanding of that, that may not be for you to know if you're not walking. Because he says the Holy Spirit would guide us and lead us into all truth. You're worried about something you shouldn't be worried about. You're a worry wart. A lot of us like to worry about things that we can't do nothing about. Their children are established with them in their sight, and they all spring before their eyes. They got their children on this, and they was talking about how rich Romney is with his kids and what all they have. About Sam Walton, was how he did with his children, his brothers and sisters. Okay, what is that to you about what do they have? That's not your business. Your business is you and your children. But you looking at, oh, they wicked and they do this. But you're not running the earth. God says it rains on the just and the unjust. That's envious and jealousy because you want what they got. That's why you're in this condition. He said their houses are safe and in peace without fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. God's not doing them anything.
Well, he didn't do Moab anything. Moab hadn't suffered all these things.
During the time of Noah, he hadn't did the people during that time anything. They didn't see anything different. God says it'll be just the same as our time, as it was the times of Noah. They will be married, given in marriage, eating and drinking, until the day of the flood, until judgment come on the earth. We doing the same thing that they were doing there. Are we aware of God's been speaking to us? Wasn't God speaking to them during that time for 120 years? God was patient with them. There's a time and a season for all things. 120 years, Noah preached. Did they come into the ark? They were at other churches worshiping their God. Religion was rampant because they said the sons of God intermingle with the daughters of men. So they had religion. Moab had religion. They worshiped their god Chemosh. See, but are you serving the true and living God? You will be judged whether you are or not. All men shall you. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. That's the only way. So are you content and complacent where you are? You happy with the life? If they're happy with their life that they live in, that must mean that they're not his seed. There are two seeds in the earth. And Jesus said, you're not of my father. You're of your father, the devil. Why are you worried about the devil's children? Do you lose sleep over another person's child at night, sister? What are you worried about this? A lot of people are hutcher and get new cars. Hutcher and got this. What? You got an eye problem. You covetous. You worried about something that why about yourself and your children? Joe said their neighborhood is so nice. They have peace. They secure. Well, okay, we don't know what God's working though.
Their bulls breed and fail not, their cows calf and do not miscarriage. They send forth little ones like a flock, and their children skip about. They themselves lift up their voices and sing the tambourine and lyre and rejoice to the sound of the pipe. They spend their days in prosperity and go down to Sheol in a moment in peace. But it looks like they die in peace.
Well, they didn't repent, though.
There were two thieves on the cross. One went out railing and talking against Jesus. The other one was saying, Lord, remember me when you come into the kingdom.
Jesus told one, today you shall be with me in paradise. Now we know that he was speaking to him that he said, I say to you today. It didn't mean that he was going to be in paradise that day. He was going to die. And you know what? Solomon said the wicked and the just die the same way. Do a lot of preachers or people preach to you that thief on the cross died a horrible death?
Jesus was the only one on that cross who died before sundown. Those other two men died like the rest of them who crucified on the cross. It took days to die when they crucified. But see, Jesus, they wanted to expedite his burial and that he wasn't to be on that before sundown. But it took a long time to die on the cross. They didn't puncture either one or the other one's side. They didn't break a bone. See, if you wasn't hurrying up and dying, they would usually break a part of you. But see, God was sovereignly watching over Christ. He was the Passover lamb, and what he said about the Passover lamb, not a bone shall be broken in the Passover lamb. See, Jesus was there, but God was maneuvering the situation. It was by the determinate counsel of God that he'd be delivered up to death. Whatever's happening to you, God has put you on that path. Stop complaining. Stop murmuring and take it. That's what I like about Sister Harris. You remember the other night I was saying, well, Sister Harris is a pretty tough trooper. She ought to be here. So she had failed. She had gotten up in the hospital, finished teaching. I go up there, and she was in pain, but she was worrying about getting back to church. I left my tithes there at the house. I need to get you the tithes before this. I'm like, Sister Harris, are you all right? And she's worried about those things. The very next weekend, she's here. They were talking about, well, you may be in a nursing home. You may have to do this and that. Now, you keep going. See, you're being emptied from leaves to leaves. You're being emptied. God's shaking you up. He's stirring that up within you.
But see, a lot of us would have been concerned, you know, I want my strength and health. I don't want this to happen to me. I don't want that to happen. You want to be comfortable. But God's consistently doing you like he did Job. Job was at comfort, and he was wondering why all those things was happening to him. I say, Sister Harris, you just pray and see, hopefully, why God's doing this to you. Just why is he doing these things? We're going to suffer bad things. Just like everybody else, it rains on the just and the unjust. I was saying, pray for the roof. Pray for these things. Even though we pray, we have to be emptied from vessel to vessel, or we'll get tangent. We'll lose the spice in us. So he says, have you tried my servant Job? Job's children was prospering. Job had wealth. But Job needed a little bit more adversity in his life before he could understand and know of God. So he starts shaking him. He brought the civilians in. He brought all this to destroy Job's livestock, all the livestock. He had to take his children out. He had to see where his wife stood. See, without this trial, he wouldn't have known that his wife wasn't on his side. His wife was a Moabite. She was carnal. She would rather, if you can't live in ease, look at you, Job. You're sick. You done lost everything. Won't you curse God and die? It's better to die. See, the wicked would rather go down to the grave quickly instead of suffering pain. Instead of suffering loss, a lot of people, they lose things. They'll jump off of a bridge. They'll kill themselves. But see, life is so precious. Job said, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not receive bad? Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. But the Moabites wasn't serving God. And they had enjoyed the comfort of God saying, Israel, as you go through the land, destroying Sihon, you're destroying all these different lands. Don't touch their land. Even though they're trying to curse you, even though your relatives talking about you, even though the people that you love the most and try to help the most talking about you, you remember that that is kindred to you. Jesus taught us to love our enemies, love those that talk about us and persecute us and despitefully use us. We're to love. That's the type of person we should be. He's going to judge them. See, Job didn't realize God's going to judge them. He has a reason for allowing them to prosper. He had a reason for allowing Pharaoh to be Pharaoh of Egypt. He said, I raised you up for this very reason, Pharaoh. I got a reason for this, and as you harden your heart, now I'm going to start hardening your heart. You remember, Pharaoh started the process of hardening his heart. God concludes it. I say, you know, and I'm worried. See, a lot of times I'd be worried about things, and people say it's going to rain in here, and I had all the equipment for the guy to do the building, and I had other things to do. So I went on and took my grandson to the monster truck show while there, or whatever. The guy called me and said, man, they had cut me in my head last night or whatever. He was cut all up, and he couldn't do the roof last weekend. And I said, well, man, see, I got all the material and stuff there ready for you. So I said, well, let me know when you get able or whatever. But life goes on. I didn't know when he was going to be. I said, well, look, let me get a couple of more estimates and pray about this. I was praying and thinking and going on. I had a couple of guys look at the roof. He called me the other night on the way from Bible study. And Texas said he was in good health. He was able to do the roof this weekend. Texting back, I said, but I got other people that I've got looking at this. So the guy got up there and looked at it and said, well, you know, where it's leaking at and everything, he did a good job and everything, but the underlayment on that roof, it's been leaked so long and everything, that's not working 100%. That's not going to work 100% what he's doing. That really needs to be sealed a different way. So he's starting to talk about $10,000-$15,000 or so. Much more. But isn't God wonderful? If I had went on and not gotten somebody else, if I'd have rested on my leaves and said, well, we'll just leave this money in the bank, we'll leave this money aside when this guy comes back, then he can do it. But see, he shouldn't have been out doing what he was doing that night to get cut in the head. But by him getting cut in the head and that happening to him, it
brought in an opportunity for me to have somebody else look and say, you're kind of doing something that's not going to hold, it's not going to last as long as you think it lasts. It may last a year or two, but you're going to be back where you were almost. He said, I tell you what. And he was talking about how to seal it, how to do this. I said, well, I got about $2,000 worth of material sitting there. He said, they'll take, you can get that did back and apply it to what you're doing here or whatever. See, but see, all things work together for good. I didn't cry and say, oh Lord, who cut him in the head? Why this happened to him? But see, all that was in the process of pouring it from vessel to vessel. And Job was wondering, why good things happen to these people? Why good things always happen? And I was thinking about my children because, you know, they hadn't had an easy life. And I was telling someone the other day, that's where they got their car from or whatever. Each one of them got their own cars, paid for them or whatever, and they've had hard lives. And I don't worry about my children because God has been pouring them from vessels to vessels. Remember when my youngest son started to work at Associated Grocery, which is a pretty tough place to work. And, you know, he got a second job while working that job. The second job was harder than the first job. The second job was in a kitchen, washing dishes and cooking, doing things in a kitchen at nighttime. And he was working at Associated Grocery during the day. My daughter's a captain in the Army, and she has trained against men doing her training a lot of times. I have a son that's with the police force, whatever. But what I'm saying in turn, God's been emptying them from vessel to vessel. But if I'd have nurtured them, as a lot of people, their children, they pamper them through school or whatever, they put themselves to school. But if I'd have gave them this, you know, it's a lot of parents out there paying their children's way to Episcopal or some of these schools or whatever, and that's what the fight is about today. It's more to go to Episcopal than it is to go to most universities. And they buy them a car and they give them a credit card or whatever. But these are the ones that as we raise up, we're seeing, they say, cut this program out and cut that program because easy come, easy go. That's why it's a lot of us in our communities, we see where our children, you go to the gas machine or you go to this place or you walk even in the yards, they're throwing pennies and nickels away and saying that ain't any money. And they don't realize the principle of want not, waste not. And their very parents hadn't taught them this theory. The parents worse than the children on this. Because there's a principle involved with that little that you waste. What you waste, you'll come to want. It reminds me of M.C. Hammer. All the millions he had, all what he did with his money. Did you know it's more likely that we would go bankrupt because quick or riches gain without understanding the principle of money? He's bankrupt at that time. A lot of athletes become bankrupt because they're spending it like there's no tomorrow. We're not considering our stewardships before God. And God gives a parable about the wise steward. See, a lot of us are building bigger barns and not considering what it takes. But he says you have to give account. Who has been given much, you have to give account for much. How you will give account for that you waste or throw away, that it's people that's asking, loan me a nickel or give me a, standing out asking for change of coins and you throwing coins away. Remember, God's going to come call you into judgment for those things. We look at God's too big, but God's in each of our lives and he's watching whether you live the way you live. Are you worthy for the kingdom or not? These wasn't worthy. Moab wasn't worthy for the kingdom. Moab wasn't able to walk in the kingdom. There were a few walking the right way. There were a few walking the right way in that kingdom. So when Job was in consideration here, and he was praying about these things, about their long lives and what was going on with them. He was looking at it from a man under the sun. Not that Job was a wicked person, but still he needed purging. The reason God allowed him. You'll see at the end of Job's life where Job said, now God, I understand. Now I see.
And see, it wasn't going to be a process where he understood all, because he was among some who understood what God was doing in that particular instance. And see, our problem is we judge people by one particular instance. By that time that they did this, now you made them the rest of their life for one discretion. How much more do you know about Lot's daughters? Everybody talking about they got their father drunk and they went with him. Were they immoral girls? They lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. How many of us know girls or women today that sleeping are not virgins and not married and are sleeping without countless different boyfriends or living with them? Look at Lot's daughters. They were staying with their father and they had not known man. Amongst Sodom and Gomorrah, as wicked as those cities was, those two girls were still virgins. You hadn't thought about that, huh? You look at a person, one indiscretion, a girl could have a baby or something happen, and she was the good girl in school. Okay, she got caught that one time. This young man, he was out doing this, and he was with the wrong crowd. He did something, but now you say he wicked, he evil, and you don't know nothing about his life, but that one episode that's been reported on the news. And you didn't judge his whole life. See, God puts up with our failures. And how many failures have any of y'all had? Hadn't y'all had countless flaws and failures? Didn't David kill a man? Didn't all these things happen? But we want to judge a person because of one indiscretion. God was patient with Moab. Look, he says he's moaning for Moab. Do you give up on your children over one discretion? Do you not just still moan and hope that they can change and pray to God for them? We should be that way. We shouldn't be the way we are. We look at the Bible and we go away as perfect, and then we go out and preach to sinners, and no wonder we're not winning the world, because we're not glorifying God. They're seeing us when we go out there and talk, because we're preaching from our hearts, and from what we're doing, we're judging the world. God says, be careful with that judging. With what measure you judge, you shall be judged. God is the judge. We don't judge by our standards. We judge by God's standards. God said in the book of Psalms, the 75th chapter, and the 8th through the 7th verse, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup of his wrath, and the wine forms in it is red. Well mixed, and he pours it out from it, and all the wicked of the earth must drink of the dregs of that cup. As you're drinking of the cup of the Lord, as they're drinking of the cup of the Lord, we have to drink the cup. As Jeremiah preached, he said, go into all the earth and preach. The same commandment that Jesus gave to his disciples in Matthew, the 28th chapter. Go into all the earth and preach the gospel. Going to the gospel is the cup. It's a cup of suffering. I didn't preach to you a prosperity gospel. I preached to you the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel of hope. Now, if you keep God's laws, if you walk in his ways, he gave you a bunch of blessings, and prosperity is there. But what I'm saying is, it may not be in your lot of life. God makes that determination. I can't promise you that. It may be a life of you being handicapped. It may be a life of poverty for you. John the Baptist wasn't a rich man. John the Baptist suffered his head being severed off his shoulders. But there's no greater man in the kingdom of God than John the Baptist. I'm not going to preach to you because you don't have faith that you won't be healed. Right now, my wife is sick at home, one of the most godly women I know. That may be the cup that you have to drink. That may be the cup, but drink it without murmuring and complaining. We're not all going to be healed. If I preach that gospel, I'm not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because why was this person put there? Because God did that. When they asked Jesus, say, see to it that my son sits on my right hand and my left. He says, now, of my cup, you'll be able to drink of the cup I drink. Because he said, are you worthy to drink of the cup that I'm drinking of? I said, yeah, well, you'll drink of that cup. You write about that. You drink of the cup. We all must drink of the cup. Whether we drink of the cup here at communion or not, that's still not devoid the word of God. You shall be judged by the word of God. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't make the word of God void. But he says to sit at my right hand or my left hand, that's not for me to do. Now, that was something Jesus limited himself to, that it was God that caused you. God had predestined you and determined what you shall be and who you are. If you busy building bigger barns, you're not in communion with God. You're not in right fellowship with God. You need to get in fellowship with God. You need to have your heart converted. You need to start walking uprightly. God loves us all. He's not willing that any should perish. Moab, he cried and wept, and he says he'll save a remnant. Moab, have people there, because Ruth was a hard-working Moabite. She's in that family lineage. There's a Boaz out there for all of us. Let Christ be our Boaz. Come unto him. But Orpah, do you hear anything about Orpah? Now she went back to her gods, because Ruth said, your gods will be my gods. But it didn't say that Ruth went back to poverty. You remember, Moab was in prosperity. That's why Abed-Melech came there. It's because Moab had it going on, so she could have lived a wealthy life. You know, it's a lot of families where the sister marry a rich husband or a wealthy person, and then this part of the family, like I said, they don't marry so well. But the husband loves her, and they have a family doing good. But this was living at a high extreme. Well, Ruth ended up getting lucky. At least that's what God had in her life for her. But Orpah didn't say she failed. She could have went back and married I don't know who. And good things could have happened. It rains on the just and unjust. We can't use that as a determining factor. But we know that she wasn't a saved woman, because she chose the wrong God. She was like Demas. She loved this present life, this present world. We can't love the things of this world. We can't be building bigger bonds. If you build bigger bonds, build it with God leading the way. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Because there's going to be two groups that appear before God. One will say, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? Yeah, but you was building that for yourself. You wanted your name on the building. You wanted glory for doing these things. I knew you not. Depart from me. You wasn't building for the kingdom of God. You were building from a self-centered perspective. You're Moabite. You've been comfortable. I've been protecting you and sheltering you, and you gave me not the glory. You didn't even thank God for what you had. That's one of the results. Unthankfulness this day. Therefore, thus you shall be judged. God's going to judge the world. You can say about Jesus all you want, but God's going to judge the world by that righteous man, Jesus Christ. Whether you came unto him and gave up all to serve him and humble yourself, then you'll be doing the works of God. We're going to look at the church next week in this same light, that they're complacent. They're resting on their leaves. Those in the church are just like those on the outside. See, but not all is like that. As I close this, let's conclude this with God weeping for Moab. Because Moab was getting destroyed. And if you look at those chapters, they suffered badly. He sent them into captivity. He says, verse 12, therefore, but behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I shall send Moab tillers who shall tilt him up and shall empty his vessels and break his bottles in pieces. And Moab shall be ashamed of Chemosh, of their God, as the house of Israel was ashamed of Bethel in their confidence. Therefore, verse 36, my heart mourns and sighs for Moab like flutes, and my heart moans and sighs like lutes for the men of Carthage. Therefore, of the abundant riches they had gained perished. All that which was lost, all that was lost. And those that are saved during this time, that had been building according to the principles of Moab, is when Paul said, every man's work shall be tested by fire. I don't know if you have problems with your home, with your cars, with your job, with your finances, whatever you're having problems with, it may be God setting a torch to that. You may be losing it all, and you're soul be saved, but that's because you wasn't investing in the kingdom. You had other motives. You were drawing away by the things of this world. And God's trying to save you. He has to burn all that weight off. Hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven. You've got to lay aside every weight and sin that's besetting you. So he says, yet will I reverse the captivity and restore the fortunes in Moab in the latter days, says the Lord. Thus far is judgment on Moab. I'm going to save that portion of Moab that's doing right. I'm going to save those that struggle and try to do my will. Because they had me and I was leading them and they wasn't complacent, because when they seen me hungry, they fed me. And they say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? He says, what you do to the least of these, you've done it unto me. See, they hadn't lost the compassion for their country, for their state and community. They was one, some of the few who voted for the give food stamps to those that were working or those that just made it or that needed it. Those that were sick, they voted for the Affordable Care Act. They wanted you to have health care. Even though that it was going to cost them something, they wasn't thinking about themselves. Yes, it's going to raise my tax some, but I won't be at ease. See, he was telling the people that were at ease, those that didn't make sacrifice, it's going to cost us something. I'm trying to do something for the church. I may not do it perfectly right each time. It might suffer setbacks. I might have to get somebody else to finish another portion of the roof. It's going to cost me more, but at least I'm not sitting at ease. It's a lot like to set back at ease and then criticize and they can offer opinion on everything, but they can never put forth a hand to help. They can never put forth a dime to help. But God says that you did to the least of me. They're trying to restore the fallen tabernacles of David. Are you standing by the walls of the church in the heat of the day? Are you standing when you fall and get up like sister did here and say, let me make it back to the house of God? But see, a lot of them do like Ophir did. They turn and go the other way. A lot of time things happen in our lives and we say, it's no use serving God. If this is going to happen, this is the way it be. I just want to keep my money. They turn and go away. I have brothers and things that came in and say, think I'm going back to my church. I'm going back there. And I still love them as all I can. But as I see the vessels being turned, it's nothing I can do. I still pray. I still love. And I try to help where I can. But God's will have to be done, because he's the way, the truth, and the light. If you've chosen the wrong way, it's nothing we can do. God has to judge the world. Everybody won't be saved. He tells us it's be few saved. So the judgment has to come. There's a judgment falling on this nation. There's a judgment that has to fall on this state, this city, community, on our homes. It's going to be a trial by fire. And he judged Judah before he judged the rest. Judgment starts with the house of God. What you're going through, God has started it with you. Just like he started it with Job. He initiated. He asked Satan, have you tried Job? He's going to try you. We're going to be tried by fire because the testing of our faith. And though if the righteous scarcely make it, where should the ungodly be? So you want to blame Lot for what his daughters did? You want to put the blame on him and not his daughters? He hadn't been this drinking. A lot of people say, well, that was drinking leads to her, whatever. Okay, you're a man. You'd have been through things. Have you ever lost your wife? Have you ever seen her turn to a pillar of fire and burn up? Lot had more than two daughters. He had sons and daughters. All Lot's family was burned up. Everything Lot owned was lost. Lot didn't have the spirit. Kind of reminds you of Noah when you talk about drinking. When Noah came off of the ark, and they say two of his sons, after the younger son told him that the father was in that drunk because he become a husband and he planted a vineyard. And he drunk. And he was drunk at that time.
I say, we see Noah got drunk, and you know, a lot of people talk about us Christians and say, well, see this, and you don't hold out, you can't hold out.
Have you ever preached, as I preach a long time, and don't see it prospering you nothing? Don't see a lot of people being saved? Noah preached 120 years, one of the worst preaching records there is. Only 8 people were saved. Only 8 souls was on the ark after preaching 120 years. Can you imagine how Noah felt? He couldn't open the door. He couldn't close the door. So he couldn't help. Sometimes we can't help. Abraham couldn't save Lot. All he could do is stand there and talk, preach, to pray to God.
But Noah is in the ark, and they're vermin on that ark. How did Noah let us in?
The whole world is out there dying, drowning. Imagine you're caught in Katrina, and you inside of a boat or a submarine, and everybody's out there dying, and you hear them screaming and yelling, they're dying, and you open the arch door, and only you are left. It overwhelmed Noah. He began to drink. God knows things come upon us. Peter turned, he went back fishing after what happened with Jesus. There are catastrophic circumstances come upon all of us. But the Apostle Paul tells us, be drunk not with wine. We know life will come upon you. Be drunk with the Spirit. Be intoxicated in the Spirit of God. Let that be your leaning post. That's why Joshua say, meditate in the Lord's Word. Meditate in His Word day and night. Be strong and courageous. These things will happen. Don't fall apart when you see them happening. Jesus say, see that you be not troubled. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. It's a lot to go on. See that you be not troubled. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God. Lord God, help us not to concentrate on ourselves or building